You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull, Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcasts and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
It's that time of the month. Yes, we are back for you, your March pleasure. We're marching into spring by giving you the best of pop culture, geek, and nerd news. I apologize for me being under the weather, which is why I'm in my leisure clothes today, also to celebrate the debut of the Falcon and Winter Soldier, which we'll talk about soon. But first, I must introduce myself and my compatriots. My name is Craig Lagans. You can find me at Craig Lagans on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter at Craig Lagans, go figure. And joining me, as always, I can't do a show without my favorite couple. This man is doing the show just like I'm under the weather and I'm doing the show in my pajamas. This man will be doing the show on one leg. He is my private karate instructor and my certified personal trainer, Mr. Damian Dragon. Damian Vargas is here.
Ahoy, ahoy, ahoy.
And his better half, a lover of Leo's, former referee, valet, manager, wrestler herself. To paraphrase Elvis Costello, every day she writes the book, and these days I'm afraid she's not even sure if her name is Veronica. But I call her Foxy Fox. Foxy, Foxy, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. I live with Damien. I didn't have a choice.
And Giancarlo Chico.
Okay, so now, talking about the big three movies, one is out, one just released today, and the other one's been pushed back a week. So we're going to try to do this as best as possible, spoiler-free, because some of us haven't watched anything yet, it's not released yet, but we still want to get opinions and thoughts and everything like that.
That's how I feel about Justice League.
Yeah. So the first one, obviously, that dropped, but people went for was the Justice League Snyder Cut. So I'm going to leave this one up to you guys because I'm assuming you guys already watched it and took that long haul of, what is it, 4 or 5 hours?
4 hours.
I saw
it twice. Absolutely loved it. I gave it, I primed myself for it. I watched the original Justice League, Cuts first. And then, just to compare and contrast, and watch the Snyder Cut, absolutely loved it. Great stuff. The ending probably was the best part, if I can say that. And that's saying something. If only because of the the Ben Affleck's Batman is my favorite Batman. I've said this on this very podcast on many occasions. But Ben Affleck's the Batman and Joker interaction between Ben Affleck and Jared Leto was the single greatest Batman-Joker interaction anywhere in a movie, period, or on television or any place else. I put up a little graphic on my page about there was a picture of Jack Nicholson and Michael Keaton, and I said those two were no Affleck and Leto, and I mean that because Nicholson and Keaton, as great as they are, Affleck and Leto are far superior, and just their one scene at the end of Justice League blew anything that 1989 Batman did out of the water. It was absolutely incredible. I actually got into an argument with someone who actually liked Justice League better than Endgame. I'm not going to speculate on what's wrong with them, but that's how well it was received and how well for four-hour movies. And if you go to my Comic Book Gurus podcast Facebook page, there's ways to watch it. It's to be broken up. You can watch it in shifts. And even there's a place for a bathroom break if you want.
So they actually did almost like an intermission type thing.
Yeah, and when you watch it, Dame, there is parts. There's chapter there. You're going to see it. The screen fade to black, and you'll see part two. And so there's definitive breaks in the movie, so you can pause it at any time and come back to it. There's no Yeah, so obviously you can sit through 4 hours straight like I did because I was loving it, but if you have other things to do, or if you unlike me, if you have a life, you can pause it. There's definitive breaks in it where you can go away and come back and enjoy the whole thing. But yeah, I loved it, really liked it. And now I want to see the Snyder Cut of Green Lantern.
And to my understanding, there's supposed to be like a black and white version coming too.
Yeah. What I think. Well, part of the one of the great things that people liked about it was the nightmare part. You know, the little snippet of from Batman versus Superman where we were in the future and Batman had the trench coat and Superman was almighty, all omnipotent. Well, this carries on in Justice League, and apparently that the next iteration is going to be all black and white of the nightmare scenario, the nightmare future of Gotham City and Metropolis and what have you. But yes, I can recommend it enough. I really can't wait to hear what you have to say when you do see it.
Okay. And Dan, go.
Full disclosure, haven't seen it yet. That is what I'm doing all weekend as I am watching everything in the DC. So, because, listen, I know I may get made fun of this because everybody's better. I like these movies. And Man of Steel, I know this is blasphemous to say. I'm not saying it to be controversial. Man of Steel made me care about Superman for the first time ever in my life. Don't give a shit about Superman. That wow. movie, I was like, I really like the Superman. I've seen the others. Well, I've seen Superman 1, 2, and 3. And I can't get the image of Richard Pryor skiing down a building out of my head. But I'll allow it because it's Richard Pryor and you tell him no. But but I think that I when I think Superman, I think of Henry Cavill, whatever.
Cavill.
The guy from Mission Impossible. The great, awesome guy that reloads his arm it's a gun.
Yeah. The Witcher.
He's a great movie, by the way. That Mission Impossible movie is fantastic. But he made me care about Man of Steel. They, more than, in my opinion, pulled off Harley Quinn on screen, in my opinion. As much as classic as the animated series is, and that voice and that character, and then the video game, Margot Robbie is Harley. She just is. She's beautiful. She's badass. She beats the shit out of you with a baseball bat. She's awesome. Aquaman, again, pulled off. He's a Flyers fan. I mean, I wouldn't be a Flyers fan at this point, but that's for another podcast coming up next Tuesday. Love the whole series. And I think Ben Affleck is the best Batman, best Bruce Wayne on screen, both combo, period, in my opinion.
Mine too.
I'm also a big Zack Snyder mark. And I don't apologize for this. Sometimes I like my shit slow and miserable. You know, it's okay to be slow, miserable, and long sometimes. Watchmen is one of my favorite movies. Love that movie. I goddamn love that movie. And even the ending was like, okay, yeah, I'm good. I'm good with this. That being said, I haven't watched it yet because, again, I'm going to blast through all of it in 4K. I want 4K in my face. I want my home theater. I'm going to do it alone so nobody else is annoyed by my constant Batman on screen. Suicide Squad, the Harley Quinn movie, all of it. Boom. Right up to Justice League.
Woo. Marathon run.
That being said, I actively looked up stuff because, really, the movie was already out, so I wasn't really upset. Like, oh, I can't see it the day of. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Craig and I have talked about it. I've seen videos that have compared to things that aren't in it, changed. How Ray Fisher got screwed by Warner Brothers and Joss Whedon because Joss Whedon is apparently a piece of shit. Sorry. And I love Buffy and Angel, but piece of shit. And because of that, just based on what I've read about it, and I did look up that last scene. Because Craig and I talked about it last Wednesday, and I said, I'm not waiting. I have to see this. So I looked it up. And I can back up, in my opinion, everything that Craig said, holy shit.
Yeah.
Knowing how it was filmed in one of their backyards.
It was filmed in Ben Affleck's backyard.
Yeah, they just filmed it in his backyard during COVID. It was like, the scene needs to go in. Everybody's like, I feel redeems Jared. I didn't hate Suicide Squad. To me, see, the reason I like Suicide Squad so much is about halfway through it becomes Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah.
So I was like, am I wrong, Damien? Have you seen it?
I caught like the last, I want to say, half.
There you go. Well, that is Ghostbusters. Basically Ghostbusters. It's the third Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
So it was like, I wasn't upset about that. From the perspective of somebody like my mom. My mom doesn't give a shit about comic books. She hated that I collected so many comic books. She thought it was smut, crap, you know, the old parent born in the 50s thing. She called me after the movie. She saw the movie in theater and told me how much she liked Killer Croc. She loved Killer Croc. He just wanted to watch music. That's all he wanted. I'm like, I know. She liked it. So when people are, when comic fans are like, it's a piece of shit, and I'm like talking to my mom who's like, this is one of the funniest movies I've seen all year. I'm like, I mean, you know, I can't argue with that, really. You know, it's not always for you. It's not always for me.
And, Dan, I will tell you, look at the red band trailer of The Suicide Squad that came out this week.
Sir, I've watched it and already sent it to my mom, and my mom texted back two things.
What?
King Shark.
Yeah.
That's all Jace wants to see it for, and then they announced that Sylvester Stallone's the voice. It's like,
yeah. And then I realized it was Sylvester. Mom?
Yes, that's a hand.
And then, of course, you know, John Cena's line on Liberty.
Yeah. There were 364 dicks on this beach, and I had to eat every single one of these dicks to save Liberty. I'd do it. Fucking brilliant.
And hats off to John Cena. Every interview he's done to promote Suicide Squad, he's been wearing his peacekeeper suit. So, hats off to that guy.
But my point is, it brings up my point about movies like comic book movies are made because of the combos, but they're not necessarily always made for us. They're made for the bigger audience. So somebody somewhere gets joy out of these. And I feel, back on the Suicide Squad thing, that I didn't hate Jared Leto's Joker in Suicide Squad, but I was like, I don't really need him in this. Redeemed. Redeemed. I'll say it. Redeemed. It's a great scene.
Yeah, a lot of people say he's very happy.
I wish I could tell you the line he says, but when I'll say it like this. Spoiler alert. I'm not going to say the whole line, but when Batman looks at him, he goes, and I will fucking kill you. I'm like, oh, fuck me. Okay. This is what I want. That's Superman. Goes, again, not kind of spoiler, Superman goes fucking nuts on Darkseid.
Good stuff.
Not Darkseid. Steppenwolf. Sorry. Steppenwolf, yeah. He goes violently apeshit on Steppenwolf because he's a plus fucking alien that shoots lasers out of his eyes, guys. It was...
Which the only time that's ever actually happened with Superman was actually him doing that to Darkseid in the Justice League series.
Justice League, yeah.
When he thought he'd, like, you know, obliterated Batman, and he just freaking lost it on him. And he just...
By the way, I'm going to need you, Damian, I'm going to need you and Craig to point me in a direction of a book I'm looking for at the end of the segment. But anyway, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. Warner Brothers to get fucked if they don't restore the series.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
Nah, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
I don't understand the hate. I understand that movies are too long because it's Zack Snyder and it takes him 6 hours to tell. I get it. But I don't get the hate he gets. I don't understand the hate he gets from people. I don't understand it. And I'm more than happy to check this into my veins. I know it's getting released on 4K because there's already a Steelbook version of it in the UK that they pre-released. So I'm going to shove that into my veins again when I get bought. Wonder Woman, the last Wonder Woman, I enjoyed the hell out of it. Was it a perfect movie? No, of course not. But if you don't pop at the end for that cameo, you have no goddamn heart or soul. I've been doing this for a long time.
Now that was redeemed because I thought she should have been in the first Wonder Woman as the drunk woman that comes out of the car. That so takes that's who that should have been. So.
But this, I would say this is better, considering the character is going to interact with today's Wonder Woman. It's Linda Carter, guys. Considering, spoiler alert, considering that this character is going to interact and be on screen with today's Wonder Woman, it was done even better. She just shows up, rocks fucking Linda Carter, does the turnaround screen after saving somebody, going, I've been doing this a long time. And it fucking fades out. I'm just like, oh, yes! Nerdgasm!
Michael Keaton and all that stuff. Yeah, so it's like, looks like they're
The thing, Michael Keaton coming in for Batman Beyond adaptations, I'm going to fuck up for that. Like, what is the character to complain about?
Now, here's the interesting thing. This bleeds into movie 2, which released today. Godzilla versus King Kong. Now, prior to its release, apparently it was getting slammed. It was getting slammed by people's, like, criticisms or whatever on all over the place. But it was also revealed that it was getting slammed by people on purpose.
Oh, the Zack Snyder fuckers, yeah.
The whole Zack Snyder thing, so that way it wouldn't get that much play. Thoughts on that before we get into Godzilla Kong?
Can I go first? You know where I'm going to go with this, guys.
Go.
When Ghostbusters 2016 came
out. Did not see this coming. You're throwing me for a loop here.
Listen, okay, so Ghostbusters came out at a bad time because apparently vaginas in the same uniforms as the guys were bad. But it came out at the same time as the Sony leaks, and then Rotten Tomatoes was getting pushed to the forefront. Well, it's got a 75 on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got to be kind of good. The movie absolutely got review bombed. Period. It got review bombed. Fact, I watched it happen live. I was watching it happen live. That is the day I denounced and renounced Rotten Tomatoes to the point where it doesn't matter what the grade of the score of the movie on Rotten Tomatoes means diddly shit to me. Just does. I watched it happen. I've been harassed online for that movie. I mean, I don't care. I'm not traumatized by it, but I know people that were, God forbid, because they liked something. It happened because of jealousy and anger of another movie. It doesn't make any sense to me. What a waste of our time, because I'm still going to rock the shit out of Godzilla vs. Kong. I don't give a fuck what – I don't care what Joe Schmo in Gary, Indiana thinks about – I threw that one out there for Craig. I don't care what Joe Schmo and Gary, Indiana thinks about Godzilla vs. Kong. It's two big monsters beating the shit out of each other. I don't care what the plot is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, my PS to that is, well, Transformers, you hated Transformers. I'm like, yes, but that's because Michael Bay doesn't know how to hold the camera still for me to even see the fucking robots fighting. That's another story for another time.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I mean,
in retrospect, this is the, like Craig was told, like, I know Craig has a stance about watching trailers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a better stance, probably.
And which is, ever a time to stick by that stance was definitely the handling of Godzilla vs. Kong.
Ooh, yeah.
And Mortal Kombat.
Every week there's been a new trailer.
And it's Why, oh my God, so many?
But it's like, okay, with Godzilla and Kong, because we talked about this in the last one where we were playfully dissecting the trailer and what we were hoping was going to happen, which that's something fun to do, okay? To speculate, yeah. To wonder, you know?
You're not allowed to have fun of any kind here.
But then when you release the next trailer, then another week later another trailer, and another week another trailer, and you actually start giving away everything you speculated. And then Funko goes and releases the Funko Pops for the movie, which give away tons of spoilers.
Yeah, toy companies have become a big spoilerish thing, too. Like, you see the toy line comes out, and it's like, oh, look at that.
Yeah. So, because, you know, we were talking about this in the last episode, and why you didn't like the trailers, and valid. Absolutely valid.
But especially on these two movies.
But with these two movies, they have gone and released a new trailer every week that is giving away the movie. And I don't know if that's them trying to boost up the movie and boost up more interest because there already was, but
yeah.
They've screwed the pooch.
Go ahead, Craig.
I watched Kong vs. Godzilla. It ended 10 minutes before I came on the air with you guys. And what I did after I saw it was watch the trailer. They have extras in it, after the movie's over, you can look at extras. And the extras, I was hoping would be deleted scenes or something that they couldn't fit in, but it was just the trailers, and it was three trailers. Had I seen these three before the movie, I would have been pissed off, because not only do they give off, they give away one of the cardinal sins of any trailer is to give away the ending. And that's what one of the trailers did. And it was the Departed tree. If anyone remembers the trailer for the Departed, they gave away the ending in the trailer, and that kind of ruined the movie for me going in. And that was a movie I was really looking forward to seeing, and that didn't start my hatred of trailers, but it definitely didn't help. So now any movie that I'm really excited to watch, I specifically avoid the trailers as much as possible. And I hear you about the toy thing, Dane, because they released toys for Falcon and Winter Soldier already that spoiled it for, you know, what's going to come later on. We're only on episode two, but they released some of the toys, so I know what costume character's coming. So that was kind of a bummer. But, yeah, as far as the movie goes, damn good. Like you, Dan, it's the Transformers edict. I just want to see two big monsters fight. Two classic movie monsters fight. Or if I want to go a Transformer film, I'm paying to see giant robots battle. Storyline, plot, or this doesn't make sense or anything. It's a fighting robot movie. This was Kong versus Godzilla, with the whole reason why your kids even exist, Dame, is to watch Kong versus Godzilla. And
my question is, okay, so did it necessarily garner, like, the hate from the Snyder fans and everything like that to try to slam this so much?
No.
Or is this, like, an individually good movie?
No.
Because it's Craig has seen them both.
It's got nothing to do with each other. It's so stupid.
No, I know what I'm
saying. I'm not yelling at you.
I know. What I'm asking is, like, you know, on as individual movies, would you say they were both really good movies?
Yes, most definitely. And I'll give you even further, Dame. I'm sad that I could not experience either one of these in the theater because it would have made that experience that much greater, especially Kong and Godzilla. Kong and Godzilla is supposed to be on a big screen. That's the reason why you make Kong versus Godzilla in the first place, is to see it on the big screen. Seeing it at home is cool because there's no line in the bathroom and the floor isn't as sticky as it would be in a movie theater, but that's just my apartment. But that's the reason why they make movies like that, to see it in the theater. I would have sat 4 hours in the theater to see the Justice League Snyder Cut. No lie.
Oh, it'll be in theaters, and I'll go.
Yeah.
I'll be fully vaccinated at the end of April. I'll see you later.
And I'll go to a theater to see Kong versus Godzilla again.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was that good. So, yes, to answer your question.
Just to get that full blown.
Yeah, to see get the full experience. That's why you go to movies in the first place. That's why they make movies.
While we're talking about this, I just want to add something real quick, because I got into a Twitter conversation with Dean and Chris and a couple of other people about seeing movies at home versus theaters. Of course I want to go to the theater. Of course I do. I don't like people, but I want to go to the theaters. Yeah. I want to see Ghostbusters on the big screen. I can't right now, because I don't know if you noticed, there's a fucking pandemic. So, while we're biding our time, and vaccines are rolling out, and some of us are still wearing masks, we can slow down, enjoy some content that I will pay a premium price for. I don't give a shit. I understand some people cannot right now. I get it. I'm talking about me and my personal experience. And when they're back out, do you think I'm not going to go back and see Wonder Woman 84 in the theater just to see that end scene again? I am. Ghostbusters on the big screen?
Yes.
Justice League in IMAX, please? Of course, this is temporary. If you think that this is the reason the theater business is going to die, no. Somebody with money, once people start going, are able to go back, and go, let's open the theater back up. They need the theater. Let us enjoy stuff while we can't get out of our houses, please. That's all I meant. I don't want to replace the theater. I thought I was clear. I just wanted to be more clear. I want to see Scarlett Johansson's booty in those shorts on the big screen. Okay? Just kidding. I was just trying to be funny. I'm just kidding.
That's really what it all comes
down. And then, of course, down the pike now, push back a week, but Mortal Kombat. How are we feeling about Mortal Kombat? Now that we've seen a little bit more.
I haven't seen the trailers on purpose.
Not looking at the trailer. Yeah.
Well, the one thing about Mortal Kombat, story-wise, it's still kind of a mystery. They're just giving you great action points.
I don't think Mortal Kombat, unlike the other movies we've talked about, it was not made for theaters.
No?
If that were to have been put out in the theater, I do not think it would have succeeded. That's much like the original, will be one of those sleeper Blu-ray hits. So it'll fare far better watching it at home. There's nothing about that movie that says I need to see that on a big screen. Yeah. And I'm a Mortal Kombat fan.
And I think also, again, it goes back into the way culture is right now, and parents and society and everything like that. They've already said, like, I mean, it's already out. The first 10 minutes is ultra violent. They said this sucker is like redonkulously violent. You know, because that's what the game is.
Yeah.
And I think that's also going to be the thing, obviously, that comes out to it, where the, like you're saying, the at-home success of that is probably going to be way greater than theaters, because people are like, you know, they're going to, like, we went to see Watchmen. I thought this is a superhero movie. Did you not look at the rating? Did you not look at the rating before you go? You just saw costumes and you thought, hey, it's a superhero movie. Guess what?
Those are the same people that complain about comic books or complain about a gay Captain America and go, I don't want politics or real life discussions in my comic books. And I go, huh? Is it? Wait. Do you know why this character? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Let's not go into the backstory of Black Panther. Never mind.
And last but not least, you know, Craig has been waiting to go into this. Falcon and Winter Soldier, Craig. Go for it.
Yeah,
what are your
Jesus
thoughts?
Christ.
Oh, he's been waiting on this.
Well, you know what? It's, you know, we discussed WandaVision, and it's such an, with WandaVision, it was such a slow burn. You know, we had to wait, it seems like, forever for something to happen, and after the first two episodes, we were like, we were just left with, you know, we had some nice nostalgia, but we were left with some more questions and answers, and every week of speculation, who's the big bad guy? Is it, you know, is it Loki, or is it Dormammu, or Agatha Harkness, and, you know, who's this guy? Falcon and Winter Soldier, the first 10 minutes, man. And if there was ever a time, we were just talking about movies about Kong and Godzilla and Justice League made for the big screen. The first 10 minutes of Falcon and Winter Soldier is prime Marvel movie action that demands to be on a big screen. That's my only problem with it being on Disney, that you couldn't see the first episode on the big screen. I'm talking goosebumps, chills, the budget they have on Disney Plus is insane, or if to borrow your word, Dame, redonkulous, because the amount of money they spent on this the first 10 minutes of Falcon Winter Soldier, and I swear to God, Fox, it's getting better. Okay, I'm seeing you on it, but it gets better. They introduced so many great characters that I'm going crazy, and I'm happily answering questions from comic book fans or non-comic book fans who are saying, who's this? I'm looking at, not only am I seeing Battlestar and U.S. State and John Walker, Wyatt Russell's, Kurt Russell's son. Kurt Russell should have been Batman, by the way. But we're seeing John Walker. We're seeing Battlestar. We're seeing Isaiah Bradley and his grandson. And Isaiah Bradley, for those of you who don't know or who are listening to Nerd Herd for the first time, was the first black Captain America. There was a landmark comic book series that came out in 2003 called Truth, Red, White, and Black. And it told the story in 1942 in the United States. And it borrowed heavily from the Tuskegee Experiment. For those of you who don't know, earlier in this podcast, we talk about our ugly history of America. In 1932, the Tuskegee Experiment, they took 300 black men, and 200 of them had syphilis, and they wanted to study the long-term effects of syphilis. So they just brought them in under the guise that we're giving them free health care, when in actuality they were giving them placebos and not giving them any medicine at all. They just wanted them to study them to see if they died of syphilis or see what the effects of syphilis were. And this, and even so, even when they came up with a cure, when they found a cure for syphilis, if you were part of the Tuskegee Experiment, you couldn't take the cure, because if you were part of the study, these white doctors had to know how you're going to die. They wanted to know the effects of syphilis. And the, even the ones that were, that didn't have it, they were given it just to see if, or given a treatment to see if it cured it or not, and if it didn't, then tough. And this went on. It was supposed to be a 6-month experiment. It went on for 40 years. It didn't end until 1973. So, like, it just ended. But what Truth did in the Captain America was it drew attention to that fact in America in 1940. If there was a super soldier serum, they replicated it, the same one that Captain America did, and if for it to work, they weren't going to try it out on a blonde-haired, blue-eyed farm boy from Gary, Indiana. They were going to try it out on a black person. So they got 200 black men from the Army and subjected them to tests for the super soldier serum. 5 of them went through it. 3 of them, like, one turned into an abomination. Another one's heart exploded. And the only one that survived was Isaiah Bradley. he was got the, all the powers and the strength and the anatomy and the quick healing factor of Captain America. And so what about all the other? Okay, well, just kill them. So they killed the 200 other black soldiers that were there, and they said just tell their families that they died in service of their country. It's a great series, and in the comics, Isaiah Bradley was put in jail, and they kind of talked about it in episode 2 because of the color of his skin. They just Hydra just kept taking blood off of him, like sticking him like a pincushion, and he lived his life in relative obscurity, but black heroes knew who he was. So Black Panther, Luke Cage, Falcon all paid their respects to him because they knew who he was. And in the comics, Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, Nelson Mandela all saw him as a hero. So to see this character in the Marvel Universe, and there's a whole other movie franchise right there, folks. If you're really thirsting for some story, the Isaiah Bradley story, The Truth, Red, White, and Black, getting the full Marvel treatment would be my bucket list of things to see before I die. But just seeing him in a Marvel production was absolutely amazing. I can't say enough good things about Falcon and Winter Soldier. And even if I wasn't under the weather, I'd probably still wear all this stuff to pay my respects to Cap and all that. But cannot recommend it enough. It's the anti-WandaVision. As slow as WandaVision was, this is how quick Falcon and Winter Soldier is.
Yeah. And the thing is, I remember what I had mentioned, like, they were fearing, even the lead actor that plays Falcon, like, they were fearing this was going to be the first bomb out of the Marvel shows. They were actually fearing this was going to be the first bomb, and it doesn't sound like it at all.
No, and I understand Anthony Mackie's trepidation of it, because they called into question it's taken straight from the comic books about 7 years ago when Falcon did take over as Captain America, and get this, half of the country didn't like it, and there was a hashtag give back the shield, and I think that with Anthony Mackie mirroring what his character was thinking, maybe the America isn't ready for a black Captain America.
Right.
But when you see in the show, he donates the shield to a museum, and then, 2 seconds later, oh, we'll just give it to this random white guy. Here you go. You're the Captain America. And everyone loves him. It's like, wait a minute. And so that's the issue and what the overlying theme is. I mean, there's other enemies out there. But I also love Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan. They have a real Riggs and Murtaugh type relationship between those two. And
I saw it's definitely that whole Leap Leppin vibe.
Yeah, and when you see actual shows, Dan, you'll see that they're and a lot of it's improv. How they because they're lying about the big three that was improv, but how well they play off each other, and it's the first Marvel buddy cop series. You know, we never had that before about the two characters that are. Their one link is that they have their best. They both love Steve Rogers, and now they're trying to carry on as best they could. But the first two episodes, absolutely amazing. I can't recommend it enough. Go see it. All three is.
I'm intrigued. I'm definitely intrigued because I love the whole Lethal Weapon feel and everything like that. And there were the parts that I saw, like with them with their banter. I'll admit, just those parts. I was like laughing out loud. This is hilarious.
And that's just the stuff you saw. The stuff that you didn't see in the actual episodes are just absolutely hysterical. And, again, the first 10 minutes, episode 1, goosebumps. Guaranteed.
Thanks. Yeah, you have definitely sold me on this show.
Thank you!
So it seems through that next month we're in for some good watching between your Zack Snyder Cut Justice League, your Godzilla Kong, and... Mortal Kombat looks like it's going to be some fun. And, of course, now Winter Soldier. A really quick little tidbit, the little tie-in between Justice League and Godzilla a little bit, that could be, is the director and everything behind, producer, somebody behind Justice League, or whatever, right? I'm sorry, Godzilla vs. Kong. Yeah. Godzilla vs. Kong. The director behind Godzilla vs. Kong is already getting to work on, for some of us, not all of us, the long-awaited Thundercats live-action movie, which people are already going, yes, Thundercats live-action movie, which has everybody going, hashtag Jason Momoa for Lionel.
Ooh. Now she's awake.
Like,
oh.
Who else?
No, that works.
Like, who else are you going to get to play Lionel? He's got the look, he's got the build, he's got the right voice, like.
Yeah.
See, but casting-wise, that would be great, but.
Then you're typecasting him.
No, it's just, I'm trying to, like.
Who cares? He has his shirt off. Typecast him.
The whole notion of a Thundercats live action just right off the bat in my head just sounds so campy.
Because the first Ninja Turtles movie was not campy at all.
No, it wasn't campy at all. And you shut your mouth.
No, but you, Foxy, you know what I'm thinking of? When you said Thundercats live action, I'm thinking of the live action cats, and that was horrible. So
no, that's slightly different. Well, they should do a live action He-Man first. Oh, never mind.
The two animated series are in the works. I know there's two animated series.
Oh, yeah, no, Kevin Smith is doing the animated series.
But it's another one. There's two of them. Mm-hmm. There's actually two in the works.
Oh, I didn't know there was two. Wow.
There's two. Kevin Smith's got one, and I forgot who's doing one with
that one. That one's rough to watch. That one is damp with nostalgia. You're like, it was so great. Then you go back, and you're like, oh, God. It was not good.
This is terrible.
This is actually terrible.
But yeah, so apparently everybody's going bananas, of course. But everyone's going bananas for a Thundercats possibility, but everybody's like, Jason Momoa, Lionel.
Lionel.
Sure, why not?
Make this happen.
Why not? Do it. Sure.
Okay.
Sure, I won't watch it, but sure.
Where's my Voltron?
No, of course I will. Where's my Voltron live action? John Cena could be the Alliance.
Jesus Christ.
Where's my battle?
Anyway.
Where's my Battle of the Planets live action?
Anybody got anything else? By all means.
Where's my Battle of the Planets live action?
That's all I've got. Anybody got anything else?
Battle of the Planets
live action. Yeah, where's my Battle of the Planets live action? You guys can have all that. I'll take my Battle of the Planets live action.
I think that's on the table. Battle of the Planets is on the table.
I know it's on the table.
For live action.
I don't have anything else. I think we've exhausted all topics, and we've exhausted Veronica Vargas more than anything. She's got to get back to her book, Tell Me Who I'm Supposed to Be. Chapters are being finished at a rapid pace, and she's making time for us, so we cannot thank you enough.
She's on the last chapter.
I cannot
she's
tell you.
She's actually on the last day.
I know she's on the last chapter. I can't tell you how excited I am for you. And for the rest of you to read this awesome story that she's going to present to us. I'm incredibly proud of you. I know I say this to you every month, but every month it bears repeating. You're bringing your life story to the masses and an incredible life you've had that you're sharing with us. And the fact that we get to be a part of it fills me with so much glee. You have no idea. So the upcoming book, Tell Me Who I'm Supposed to Be, the life so far of Veronica Vargas, Foxy. Tell us where we can see more of you and read more about how you're doing with your chapters.
All right. Well, you can all find and follow me on social media at Viva Foxy Foxy. That's FOXY on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook.com/FoxyFoxy. And, of course, Patreon.com/FoxyFoxy, which is the hub of the memoir featuring a bunch of bonus content for it, where you can become a member and help support the endeavor to get to an editor, which will be very, very, very soon.
Nice.
There we go.
Awesome. Dane, where can people find you?
DVargas802 on Instagram, DVargas802 on YouTube, and you know, we've got the Nerd Herders page, and yeah, that's pretty much it. Everything else is my karate life and personal training now, but yeah, pretty much everything, all the nerd stuff, that's where you find it.
And if anyone needs a personal trainer or karate instructor, Dane is the man, okay?
Yeah, wait 6 weeks, though.
Yeah, just don't land on his leg, and you'll be fine. Hey, Dan.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Where can people find you?
find me at all social media platforms. If you look above on the screen, DanLaw83.
Boom. And you can find
me. Dabbing or falling off the chair?
Yeah, it's so much.
Ow!
Yeah, watch the arm. It only hurts when I dab.
It only hurts when I breathe.
You can follow me and my various pajamas and on Craig Ligons, CraigLigons, Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter. And check out YouTube if you hadn't seen or heard of me on Remote Control. And I'm getting other links from people that found me on Remote Control. Unfortunately, what I put up on YouTube is the only known existing copy of my show that I taped March 9th, 1990. But I'm sure it's out there, just like the truth. Anyone looking for it, thank you on my behalf. But the fact that I lived through it and I can get to share it with you guys is enough for me. Join us next month on April 28th when we will come back to you with a brand spanking new edition of Nerd Herders. Will I be in a different superhero set of pajamas or will I be in a whole brand new suit? We have no idea. And because between now and then, there'll be so much more news, nerd stuff, movies that have opened or closed, or dates that have been moved back further for us to discuss. But we will be here with you, passing on all the savings and all the good stuff to you. So before we go, Dan, can you hear me?
Yeah.
You're my nerd herder.
You're my nerd herder.
Oh, thank you for clarifying that last part.
Yes, hey, thank you. Oof.
Hey, Dame. Dame?
Yes, sir.
You're my nerd herder.
Yeah.
You are.
You're my nerd herder.
Amber looks, Amber looks so thrilled you're doing this.
An appearance fee I have to pay for to get it. Hey, Fox. You know,
yes.
these days I'm afraid you're not even sure if your name is Veronica, but because we both love Elvis Costello and because we both love you, do you know what? You're my nerd herder.
What? You're my nerd herder.
Thank you. There's stars and stripes where my heart is. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening or for watching us tonight. Join us next month, April 28th, for a brand spanking new edition of Nerd Herders. For Dan Colachico, Veronica Vargas, Damian Vargas, and the aforementioned Amber, my name is Craig Ligons. This has been Nerd Herder, and we'll see you in the future.
This is the Slickster, the Doctor of Style, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Cassie Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you know Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into like snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Cam Resume.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airlines cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could find?
Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Dylan, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time, or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Stadium Journey, the worldwide leader in stadium reviews for the traveling sports fan, is proud to present the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation. Join us as we talk with prominent figures from around the sports world to discuss issues pertaining to sports travel and stadiums around the globe. New episodes air on VOC Nation Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Join Paul Baker, Dave Cartney, Mark Viquez, Dan Calachico, and guests from throughout the sports world on the Stadium Gritty Podcast on VOC Nation.
On Wrestling with Problems, we deal with two things, wrestling and problems. On the wrestling side, we cover the major feds as well as the indies. As far as problems go, we cover our problems, American problems, and world problems. Sometimes the problems are even related to wrestling. Every week, comedian King David Lane and wrestler, promoter Chris Best discuss the best and especially the worst in the world of wrestling with a heaping dose of comedy. Check us out live on VOCNation.com or on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Yo, this is Jerry Stiles of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.